Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from Mark chapter 5, the gospel text which has already been read. You know that thing? It's been around for a long time. Our knowledge about how that thing actually happens is surprisingly recent. But that thing, it's been around for a long time. First Adam, then Eve, and then the Bible says Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Adam and Eve, the first parents. Cain, the first child, and a mother, father, resulting children. That thing has been around for a long, long time. Our knowledge about how that thing actually happens, life, is a relatively new thing, said Edward Dolnick in his book, The Seeds of Life. He says, it wasn't until about the year 1900, after hundreds and thousands of failed hypotheses, that we figured it out, exactly how human life comes about. Planets, he says, were easy. Plants were hard. But the genesis of the human body and human life, he said, proved hardest of all. But now we know, don't we? And that pendulum about that may have swung to TMI and too early. So Cain was born, not in the Garden of Eden, but outside of it. His parents had been placed in paradise and given the run of the joint and told to cultivate the planet. But then, of course, sin happened, and they were booted from the garden. Sin happened, and when sin happened, a lot of other things became collateral damage. Things like peace, plenty. And you know what they say? If you have your health, you have everything. The genesis of human life, exactly how that comes about, may have been a tough nut to crack. A lot of it takes place unseen. But death and the cause of death have always been both seen and known. People can, people do, die from a lot of things. We do. The other thing that Adam and Eve and everybody since has known is that once you are living, we really don't want to die. And we fight to the death, don't we? And there was Jairus, whose little girl was dying. How do you suppose Jairus felt about his daughter being, it says, at the point of death? You know, we hear a lot today about sustainability. I'm all for and all about sustainability. We burn wood. We grow a lot of our own food. We drive a Prius. We used to drive two of them, but that seemed like a little bit of overkill, and our son needed a car. It's a very Christian thing to be sustainable. We might say that God's the one who invented sustainability. We've talked in the past about this closed system in general being very sustainable. Specifically, God created seeds and the things that make seeds grow and plants grow for generation after generation. And the animals interact in nature in a very sustainable way. Some of them eat plants. Some of them eat each other, and it all works. And humans have always selected animals to do our bidding and to help sustain ourselves, and we live. As more of us fill the earth, we use the brains that God has given us and the raw materials to continue to sustain the numbers, like 7 billion people now on the earth. Sustainable. But it's a battle. It's a battle. When God told Adam that the ground was cursed because of his sin, well, there was no need for Roundup in paradise. But we're not in paradise, and it's a battle, and there are the bugs, and we live by the sweat of our brow. That's just the way it is. It's a battle, but it's sustainable. It's sustainable. Like what happens when you break a bone? What happens when you scrape your knee? What happens when you cut yourself in food prep or out in the garage? St. Augustine talked about miracles. that happen every day. Miracles that are so common that we don't even think about him. You plant grape seeds, he talked about in his time. And then you get grapes. And then you get wine from those grapes that come from those seeds. God does things like that all the time. Right now with corn and beans and tomatoes and potatoes and the like. And people will sometimes speak of the miracle of a new baby being born. So God created us so that when a bone breaks, it heals. You skin your knee, it'll probably scab up, and in no time at all, you don't even remember, and that cut's going to heal, but you might have a scar. And those are things that you can see. What you can't see with the naked eye is the ongoing battle being waged in the air we breathe, sometimes in the water we drink, within our very bodies. Viruses and bacteria attack. Antibodies fight against them, but not against the good bacteria. Alexander Fleming famously and accidentally discovered penicillin in 1928, and we used our brains to develop other weapons and to discover natural means that God has placed within us to fight disease. And doctors and other medical people, we know sometimes they can help us. We know a guy who was born with a heart defect back in the 80s. He was going to need heart surgery. And not all pediatric cardiology surgeons are the same. And his parents wanted the best. So a guy in church happened to have a brother who was in medical school, who was working with the surgeon who was the best. And that's the one you want. That's the doctor you want. His name was Dr. Barrett, and at the time he was at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor, and we now know for a certainty that he is the best because Dr. Barrett ended up practicing at Iowa City, which is where the best usually end up, which is why, tell my wife, if I get sick, if it's serious, just take me right to Iowa City. And it's why Jairus was where Jairus was. His daughter was sick. She was about to die. And not all healers are the same. Jairus calls her his little girl. She's 12 and she's sick. At the end, it says holding. At the end, it looks like the end of her earthly life is near. Holding. We might talk about her holding on for dear life. It's what we do. It's who we are. Because Jesus is the best, the only healer who can heal like he heals, he comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And in response to that direct request from this ruler, Jesus went with him. He went with him. And of course, a funny thing happened on the way to Jairus' house. Their journey was interrupted by a woman with a flow of blood and pain, both symptoms of an unspoken, unknown disease. The woman, it said, had been to a lot of doctors, and she could not go to Iowa City, wasn't there. And the rabbis who described medical treatments at the time might lead us to believe that the treatments may have actually been the cause for her bleeding and her pain. It specifically says that she had suffered much under many doctors and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. And the more things change, the more things stay the same. And it also specifically says that she had heard of Jesus. He had done a lot of healing in Galilee, then over to the other side of the sea last week, now back. And it further specifically says that she was thinking, if I touch even his garments, I shall be made well. And yeah, that's the healer you want. The woman wants to be made whole. And that's the thing about disease, isn't it? Things you maybe can't even see are within you, are fighting against you, attacking your body. And things just will not be right with the world while this is going on. The woman wants to be made whole. She picked the right healer, touching him. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Meanwhile, Jairus' little girl had died. And not all funerals are the same. The funeral for the aged saint who has been wanting God to take me home and maybe wondering why it's taking so long, that can even be a happy funeral, a happy time. Nobody is happy at the funeral of this girl who had her whole life ahead of her. And indeed, the tumult, people weeping and wailing, was genuine and heartfelt. Replaced shortly after Jesus got there with laughter. Laughter. They laughed at him. And the verb is in the imperfect tense. It means they kept it up. They can't stop laughing. About what? Well, Jesus had come into the room. He spoke and he said to them, "Why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they thought that was pretty funny. They couldn't stop laughing. And he doesn't say any words to the laughers, who likely did not include the girl's father and mother, who were with Jesus and Peter and James and John, and they entered the most private of personal space into their home. And now Jesus speaks. He speaks, and once again we note the power inherent in the word of God. "Little girl, arise," and she did just that, just like that. And that's the reason why Jesus is the healer you want. He tells the little girl, "Arise," and she does, first time, every time. And when he tells the dead man to come out of the tomb, Lazarus comes out of his tomb, first time, every time. When he wants to heal whatever, he heals whatever. And she got up and walked, and get that girl something to eat, dine and rise and makes you hungry. As for Jairus and his wife, they were immediately overcome with amazement, ecstasy. What does that mean? It's a feeling that comes when your daughter was dead. Now she's not dead anymore. She's alive. Because of the way that God made things, in fact, life on this planet is very sustainable. And when he told Adam and Eve, later on Noah and his wife, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, we have pretty much done that, haven't we? There's still room out there, but the earth is pretty full, 7 billion people. Life goes on for generation after generation. Mothers, fathers, children, to be followed by more of the same, very sustainable. And God continues to miraculously heal people, and like the grapes and the wine, we don't even seem to notice. Sometimes God uses doctors and medical people to whom he has given brains, and we made a lot of progress in medical care. Sometimes he uses naturally occurring substances, natural medicine, natural healings, and sometimes God just goes ahead and heals somebody. And I've seen that happen, and so have doctors. I don't know what happened here, but this person was sick. Now he's better. I don't know. I do. Healing broken bones, scrapes, cuts, healing dread disease. He can even heal from things like cancer, whatever you got, sometimes using doctors, sometimes not. Until he doesn't. Until he doesn't. And when he doesn't, you might even find yourself asking, why? And if you find yourself asking that, reference Job. God took away everything from him. And Job didn't know why. All of his things were taken away from him, including his family. He didn't know why. If you would have told Job what happened, how Satan came to God, and God said, "Look at all my people on the earth. Look at Job. He's a good guy. He believes in me." And Satan says, "Well, yeah, you gave him a lot of stuff. Take away his stuff and he'll curse you and die." That's what happened. Job didn't know that. Who'd ever thunk? The crux of the problem is that after the fall, each individual life can be sustained for only so long. And we've known that for a long time. We know how this thing's going to end. We know how this thing's going to end, but we fight against it to the death. Even Christians who know what will happen after that fight against it to the death. Accident, disease, so-called natural causes, and a particular life becomes no longer sustainable. We fight against it, we pray, and we fight to the death against death, and then death wins. But not really. Not really. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, after he's been talking about the resurrection most of the chapter, he says, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who defeated death, whose victory becomes your victory. He is the first fruits, Paul says, many are to follow. All who believe in him are baptized, will follow him into that victorious heaven. Paul says in Thessalonians, but we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep, and so shall we be always with the Lord. Always with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Indeed, we know a lot more now about how life comes to be than we knew 100 years ago. And the more we know, the more we wonder at the gift of life at the hand of the giver of life. It's really amazing. And we continue to marvel, as we have for generations marveled, at the eternal life given in the washing of plain water and the word, sustained on this word and heavenly food for all of our lives. We were dead. He has made us alive in Christ Jesus. He has taken us and made us into his children. Yet one more thing that happens all the time, yet one more thing we don't much think about, we are all miracles, walking around, living people alive in Christ. And in the end, Job got it all back, his family, his land, his animals. He got it all back, and then some, and then some. A nice picture of heaven, getting it all back, and then some. Whatever mankind lost in the fall, we're going to get back in paradise, and then some. Whatever you have lost in this lifetime, and many have lost much, you're going to get it back, and then some. In a place that will be very sustainable. A place that's going to last forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.